the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today is August the 30th, and on today's show, we'll be talking about Cathedra Bitcoin. They released their Q2 2022 update. We'll also be talking about big digital assets and doing a comparison between them and one of their competitors. And finally, we'll talk about a very small Bitcoin mining operation, Blue Skies Digital Assets. And they are in a state of transition. We're going to dive deep into this. You don't want to miss this one because it's going to be fun. And we can't go any further without talking about our sponsors. And the first sponsor for today is ShakePay. And it's a great place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. Open up an account with our referral code below. And if you buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform, ShakePay is going to give you $30, no questions asked, added to your account. Not too shabby. Also, with opening an account with our code below, you unlock the ability to shake your phone with the ShakePay app being open. And if you do this once a day, ShakePay is going to reward you with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Run up a streak, well, you get more and more Satoshis per day, to the point if you do it for 365 straight days, the amount of Satoshis are going to be 1,000 sats per day per shake, another great way to stack sats. They also have the ShakePay Visa card where you could load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and go out and purchase anything like gas, groceries, whatever the heck you have to buy. The first 5,000 you purchase, 2% are going to be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. And beyond that, 1% will be given to you in Bitcoin, all added to your ShakePay account. Not too bad. There's also the Shake paid promotion where you could potentially get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin. So it makes sense to use your ShakePay Visa card frequently. And the last thing they have is the Shake Squads where you could team up with up to four other ShakePay users. And anytime anybody in your Shake Squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, well, everybody will be rewarded with 42 sats per purchase. So a lot of great ways to stack sats with ShakePay. We recommend opening up an account and using them to buy Bitcoin and stacking sats. It's just so easy. And what are you going to do with all this Bitcoin that you now have? Well, why not put it on the, there it is, Ledin platform and earn some interest. So if you open up an account with our code below and you fund your Ledin account with 150,000 sats or 75 USDC and keep it on there for 15 consecutive days. Ledin is going to give you 10 USDC and it will be added to your account. Pretty good. Also, you have a large stack of Bitcoin, but you don't want to sell. Have some bills to pay. Ledin is there to help you out. You can borrow against your Bitcoin, 50% loan to value. They'll simply give you the money if you put up your Bitcoin as collateral and you're good to go. Also, if you're feeling lucky and you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, well, you could double up your Bitcoin stack with Ledin's B2X option. And if you do this right and you pull out when the price goes up significantly, well, you now have more Bitcoin on your stack just by simply timing the market and using Ledin B2X feature. The last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. This is an industry first. It got a lot of attention when it first came out. But this is, of course, not available in every jurisdiction. So if you are interested in this, check Ledin's website, but see where it's being offered, the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, but also check to see what are their interest rates for their savings and borrowing accounts, because these do change on a monthly, month-to-month basis. And now with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And so leading things off is a story from Cathedra Bitcoin, and it's a company that we're fond of over here at the CBP, but we are starting to potentially see some cracks in the foundation, but it looks like they're trying to address any of those things. So there's some good and some bad from this report. It's the Q2 report. We'll do a comparison between this and the Q1 report. So Q2, their revenue was $2.53 million Canadian versus $3.11 million in Q1. So it went down. This is expected given the price of Bitcoin has gone down from Q2 compared to Q1. During the Q2, they were closing two non-brokered private placement offerings for gross proceeds of 9.3 million Canadian, a lot of money that they desperately needed. They have also sold off a lot of Bitcoin. They sold off the Bitcoin at an average price of $29,000. They made 8.7 million Canadian as a result of this purchase or the selling off of their Bitcoin. The selling off of this Bitcoin, given the price, makes me believe that most of the Bitcoin they sold off was well before June. So they've been doing this throughout the Q2. And it's a good thing that they've done so, considering the price of Bitcoin where it is right now. They've been repaying all the principal and debt on two outstanding loan equipment for 14 million US. This is good. So again, there was cracks in the system, in their foundation, but they are being patched. Something else that they did, which is not too great, but they needed the money. They sold off 600 of their S19 XP models. They got $4.1 million as a result and used that to pay off some of the debt. They also note that they're going to be pausing their significant capital expenditure, and this is as a means to conserve the cash they have on site in the reserves. They are going to be deploying 1,501 of Antminer S19J Pro models. This is going to be at the Kentucky and Tennessee location. This comes with some good and a little bit more bad. I'm not a big fan of not doing self-hosting. Having somebody else host their equipment doesn't lead any confidence to me, because somebody else is now dealing with making sure the equipment is maintained and making sure there's uptime and all that jazz. But they are getting a very favorable rate of 5.5 cents per kilowatt hour, which is very cheap. But there's also a cost of 10% of the gross Bitcoin revenue is going to be given to the people hosting their equipment. All in all, their hash rate sits. So Cathedra ended the period. This is the end of Q2. Their hash rate was 231 petahash per second. And at the time of writing of this publication, their hash rate has gone down to 217. So it's gone down a little bit. They do intend to get to 518 petahash per second by the end of 2022. I'm not sure if it's possible they're going to be able to maintain that goal. Also of note, their hash rate at the end of Q1 was 207 petahash per second. And at the end of Q2 was 231, and at the time of writing of this Q2 report was 217. So there's looking like their hash rate is somewhat stalled. It's only gone up about 10% since the end of Q1. And at the time of writing, now we're going to be approaching the end of Q3 very, very soon. So are they going to be able to achieve this goal of 518 petahash per second? It's something that is going to be remains to be seen, especially if they're pausing any capital expenditures moving forward. So again, some good and some bad. It's not the worst. They are addressing some of the problems that I see. The debt they got rid of, a lot of debt they got rid of. They sold off some machines, which isn't the best. They sold off their Bitcoin. I prefer to see them keep it on their balance sheet. But this is one way Bitcoin miners deal with keeping the lights on. They're having somebody else host their equipment. So there's some questions here, but they do have the roving mining units that they are building in-house in New Hampshire. These are pieces of equipment that could be really, really lucrative if they start marketing them and having other Bitcoin miners buy them up from them. Hopefully they don't keep them for themselves. They could sell this to other Bitcoin miners, and this could be a new revenue generating stream that they have, because these roving mining units would be fantastic in locations like Texas, where you're going from well to well and you need to move your whole operation from one well to another once the first well has dried up in terms of the gas that you're able to extract from that well. So I would expect a lot of companies that are operating in the state of Texas, but not just there, but also other areas of the world that are tapping into these unused energy sources that are just flaring gas. Well, these roving units, these roving mining units, they are going to be just dynamite in those locations. So I think Cathedra Bitcoin is going to have a lot of new revenue should they start pumping these out and selling it to those companies. So will Cathedra reach their goal of getting to over 500 petahash per second by the end of this year? I doubt it. I mean, it's quite a jump. We'll see if they're able to maintain this, but I could be wrong in my approach. At the very least, they've dealt with a lot of the debt that they had. So that's a real positive. That's it for Cathedra. Interesting company, good people behind it, but they're in for some rough times for the next little while, especially if the price of Bitcoin remains relatively low. And moving things along is a story from Big Digital Assets, and it is their Q2 2022 update. I'll compare this to the Q1 2022 update, but also throw in another comparable, which is going to be CoinSmart, and we could do comparison between CoinSmart and NetCoins, which is a subsidiary of Big Digital Assets, and they're bread and butter for the revenue which Big Digital Assets brings in. And so the gross operating revenue for Q2 has gone down to $2.25 million compared to Q1, $2.5 million. And this is all a direct correlation between what's happened in NetCoins. NetCoins, their revenue in Q2 was $1.75 million versus Q1 at $1.97 million. Their other revenue source, one of the bigger ones they have, is the Blockchain Intelligence Group. It's been flat, $0.5 million. For Q2 versus 0.53 million in Q1. And Blockchain Intelligence Group, if I could just talk about that briefly, this is one of their subsidiaries that they have, and it provides blockchain analysis services. And this is one that could be lucrative moving forward because they already have one contract, and albeit not very large, with the US government, but I suspect the US government and other governments around the world are going to be interested in this type of service. And given the fact that they have their service now is being offered to governments, and at least the US government has given them some money for giving them a contract, I think there's some precedent going forward. And should there be a lot more money being thrown at this type of service, well, Blockchain Intelligence Group is going to be getting a lot of money. So this is going to be potentially very lucrative for Big Digital Assets. Now, in terms of the revenue from NetCoins, it's gone down. I mean, it's gone down 12% quarter over quarter from Q1 to Q2, but it's also gone down 41% from year over year if you look at the Q1. Now, do this in comparison to, say, CoinSmart, where their year over year was 18% down year over year. So there seems to be They are not doing as well as NetCoins is not doing as well as, say, CoinSmart. So this is their bread and butter. So this is something that's very concerning. Also of note is that the recent obligation by the Canadian government, or at least the Ontario government, the Ontario Securities Commission, and that's being transposed through a number of different provinces as well, for $30,000 threshold for purchasing a lot of altcoins. And so if you are trying to buy, say, Doge, for instance, using that as an example, and you want to put more than $30,000 in a given year, you're prevented from doing so, depending on which province you live. So it's going to impact stuff like NetCoins, because they may not potentially be able to sell as much of these altcoins to their customers moving forward. Also, I just wanted to note that they're showing that they have no debt. This is really good. They have cash and they call it crypto holdings around $19 million. You want to have this moving forward. They did buy a big stake into, I'm using that's part of the pun. It's actually, look, there's a spelling mistake here. They didn't put a G on this B-I-G. It should be B-I-G-G. Anyways, that's something else. They bought around 15% of Luxfolio, which is going to give them potentially a new revenue stream moving forward. As long as that company doesn't go belly up. I've talked about them in the past. They say they hold about 500 Bitcoin, and which is good because having Bitcoin in your balance sheet, it gives them exposure to that asset. Hopefully the price of that goes up moving forward. And they've recently got into Lightning, where they open up channels with Liquid's proprietary service, software as a service. So they're getting into the Lightning, and they're now routing some Bitcoin through their Lightning channel and using some of the Bitcoin they have on their balance sheets to fund their channels. And the final thing I want to note is their registered users. It stands now at 172,000 at the end of Q2 2022. So 172,000 at the end of Q2 2022. This is for NetCoins. Compared to Q1, they had 162,000. So in one quarter, they went up about 10,000. Now, again, if we're going to use comparison of, say, CoinSmart, they have reported 260,000 registered users on their platform. So clearly they're falling behind in terms of their competitors, namely CoinSmart, and that's really the only real comparison that we could use. Their revenues are falling behind with comparison to CoinSmart. Their active users are falling behind in comparison to CoinSmart. And even if you want to use other ones that I off the top of my head, Coinberry has about 250,000 users. BitBuy has about 400,000 users. ShakePay has over 1 million users. So there you go. Big digital assets, Netcoin is falling behind. They recently did institute their Visa card. There's a new Visa card that's been being promoted by them, so you could use that and get Bitcoin back as a result, similar to what ShakePay has. But it doesn't seem to be picking up much steam for whatever reason, based on the circles which I'm in. I don't know. Big digital assets, there's a lot of potential here, but as you know, Netcoins, it doesn't look like it's really doing much these days. I think the blockchain intelligence group is going to be something looking forward that could be very, very lucrative. But until that they light a fire under that one, this one's probably going to be stalling for the next little while. So yeah, that's it for big digital assets. And the last story I have is about Blue Sky Digital Assets. And this is a very small Bitcoin mining company. And they are currently in a state of transition, and they also don't mine just Bitcoin, they mine also Ethereum or ETH, and that in itself is in a state of transition. So that's a good parallel between the two that's going on here. But in terms of what's going on there, their total assets as of June 30th, this is not too bad, sits at $8.4 million Canadian versus $1.6 million in current liabilities. Now, keep in mind that's breakdown. That balance sheet also includes a lot of equipment that is going to depreciate over time. But still, that's rather healthy because they could liquidate a lot of their assets to easily more than cover their current liabilities. And also, they note here that their mining revenue has declined from Q1 to Q2 of 2022. Q1 was a little bit over $500,000 versus Q2 was a little bit over $580,000, all numbers in Canadian. And this is as a result of the price of the digital assets, it's like Bitcoin and ETH, going down. And here we are. And this, so as for the mining revenue, there's obviously it's going down right now. It's as a decision by the company that they're moving their key mining assets, production assets, from its Canadian-based mining facility to a new facility in the state of Texas. So as they're doing this, obviously there's going to be a drop in their Bitcoin that they mine during this time. What's the advantage of moving to Texas? Well, the Texas facility offers lower utility costs. And not just that, they could expand on the electrical capacity. In Canada, they're capped right now at that facility at 2 megawatts. And in Texas, they could expand up to 175 megawatts, which gives them a lot of flexibility moving forward. And some of the assets they're moving, including 200 state-of-the-art Panda GPU mining rigs. This is going to be changing like what they're mining in the near distant future, because ETH is going to be moving to proof of stake, ETH 2.0, once the merge takes place. So companies like Blue Sky Digital Assets are going to have to pivot to something else in order to make use of their mining equipment or GPU mining equipment. Will they mine something else, or will they simply just pivot into high performance computing like Hive and Hut 8 are tending to do? This remains to be seen. And they also, they've been selling their, whatever they mine, they've been selling, and they sold what they have for $2.6 million as of March 31st. And the proceeds they're using is entered into a joint venture agreement where they're getting 50% ownership in the S19 hydro equipment, 195 units of these. And these are absolute beasts. They're almost a 200 terahash per second each. And the total combined system that they're going to be getting from this Antbox system is going to produce 38,000 terahash per second, which is 38 petahash per second. Not too bad. And based on current market conditions, they expect they're going to be able to mine 60 to 64 BTC per year, which is still rather small in the grand scheme of things. But this is, keep in mind, this is a company that is thinly traded on the stock exchange. There's not too much volume is going on for exchanging of their shares. And they're also very, very cheap in terms of cost. So they're, we'll call them a micro Capminer, which they are in essence, but they do intend to expand a little bit moving forward. Once they get to the Texas operation, they're going to have a lot of flexibility moving forward to expand their operation, which right now is capped at 2 megawatts. It's 2 megawatts in total, and they're going to be potentially getting 175 megawatts that they could draw upon. How they're going to be able to spend the money or get the money first to expand on this remains to be seen. Are they going to do some liquidation of their old equipment and then buy new equipment? Are they going to sell shares, dilute the company? Are they going to borrow against the equipment, borrow against their remaining Bitcoin, what little they have? Or I don't know, a lot remains to be seen how they're going to get the capital in order to expand their operations, but they do have the ability to do so. They're going to remain a small cap for some time because I can't see them expanding that much in a short period of time, because as of still right now, it's still kind of difficult to get a lot of equipment, a lot of ASIC mining equipment, given the fact there's still some shortages going on, but you can still probably get something on the secondhand market. But nonetheless, Blue Sky Digital Asset is a small player, but they are in a state of transition. Will they ever get to a mid-tier miner? I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. But the hope is there, given the fact that they're now operating in Texas. And now that's going to give them potential opportunities to expand further over there as they get their foot wet in those waters over there. And there's a lot of opportunity to draw on power. Plus, as there's power curtailing that goes on periodically in the state of Texas and mining operations have to shut down, well, they might be able to get a windfall of cash or at least credit moving forward, such as Riot did it. I think it was Riot where they had to turn off their mining equipment because there was power curtailment going on in the state of Texas, and they were able to get credit that was much, much more lucrative than if they were to continue mining over in during that period of time. So maybe Blue Sky Digital Assets will be able to take advantage of something like that moving forward, but that remains to be seen. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And before I sign off, just want to make sure you're aware that I'm not a financial advisor and Joey's not a financial advisor, and nobody else that's been on the show can be even considered remotely close to being a financial advisor. So make sure you do your own research before you park any money in anything we talk about. And with that, take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today is September 1st. Makes me wonder, what happened to August? It just flew by. Nonetheless, today's episode will be talking about WonderFi. There has been a lot of information coming out of this camp, and today's no exception. They scooped up another company on the cheap. Is it good? Is it bad? We'll find out. Bitfarms, they are very organized. Why? They've already announced their August 2022 production update, and we'll be talking about that. And the last thing, big digital assets. I know Netcoins is their bread and butter right now, but there is one of their subsidiaries that will be potential massive revenue generating company for them moving forward. We'll be talking about this in just a moment, so stick around. This is going to be fun. And we can't go any further without talking about our sponsor for today's show, and the sponsor is ShakePay. It's a great place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And if you open up an account with our referral code below and buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform, ShakePay is going to give you $30 added to your account, no questions asked. You also then have the ability with opening up an account with our code below, you could then shake your phone with the ShakePay app being open, and you'll be rewarded with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do this on consecutive days. The rewards will be greater and greater, to the point if you do it for 365 straight days, the reward will be 1,000 sats per day per shake. Great way to stack sats. And another great way to stack sats is using the ShakePay Visa card, where you can load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and go ahead and use it for your daily purchases like gas, groceries, whatever the heck you got to buy. And, well, the first 5,000 you purchase with that, 2% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin, and beyond that, 1% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. There's also the Shake paid promotion going on where you could potentially get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin. That is another great way to stack sats. And the last thing they do have is the Shake squads, where you could team up with up to 4 other ShakePay users, and anytime anybody in your Shake squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 sats will just be rewarded to you. What can I say? That's a great way to stack sats. A lot of great way to stack sats with ShakePay. Definitely recommend them. Check them out. Our code is below. And definitely sign up if you're not a member as of yet. So with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. So leading things off, we have a story from WonderFi. And WonderFi, well, they're at it again. And they're purchasing up more companies on the cheap, given the state of the current environment, compared to where it was back in November of 2021. At that time, everything was generally at or near the peak, and right now, everything is far from it. So who do they scoop up this time? Blockchain Foundry. And who is Blockchain Foundry? Well, according to their website, they're a gateway to the decentralized universe, and they are at the intersection of design, strategy, and blockchain technology. Doesn't really say that much, but if you look at the products they have two of them that are currently in market or under development. The first being Last Known, which is a curated multi-chain asset marketplace for artists looking to develop their art into NFTs through a customizable NFT minting platform. The second is Metacademy, and this is the world's first earn while you learn cryptocurrency and NFT courses. So WonderFi, they are looks like doubling down on the NFT marketplace. They're giving up a sizable amount of their equity into securing this company, which does have quite a bit of revenue. And I could just talk about it momentarily here. So this purchase obviously was taking place. It's nothing set in stone. They still have to finalize it, but it looks like it's going to go ahead should there be some unforeseen issues. Blockchain Foundry has a reported revenue of approximately $1.67 million for the first 15 months ended March 31st, 2022. And as of that time, they have cash and liquid assets approximately $7.24 million. And yeah, so like keep in mind that was from March 31st. Now, they're into the NFT marketplace. It says BCF launched Last Known, a non-fungible token NFT minting platform for unique NFT drops for artists and collections. Well, if you look at this article from Fortune, it indicates that the trading volume of the top NFT marketplace OpenSea is down 99% in comparison to the US, when looking at the US dollar sales. And that was from the May peak of this year, May 2022. And this article was just from August 29th. So in just the span of a short few months, it went down 99% in terms of the volume of US dollar traded on OpenSea. So is this a trend or is this a good time to buy? I guess this will remain to be seen. I'm of the opinion it's the trend. I don't think NFTs have much of a future, but WonderFi believes otherwise. So they launched their BCF launched their beta version of the Metacademy, and I talked about what it is all about. And so this is going to give WonderFi an exposure to Web3 type related assets, and gives, as they say here, it adds unique assets to the WonderFi ecosystem. And this is the accelerated growth for full-service Web3 retail platform. It furthers WonderFi's strategic goal of making Web3 more accessible, and it's going to create additional opportunities for WonderFi to bridge between decentralized finance and centralized finance platforms. And I'm wondering how this is going to... I wonder how this is going to make their platform more lucrative, how it's going to bridge some of the products they currently have, and does this... Is this something that just slots in and it makes everything work better? It makes more synergistic opportunities from within their company because they purchased Bitbuy and Coinberry recently. So does this help them just streamline their services and make their product more lucrative? I don't know. I mean, this remains to be seen. In terms of how much it's going to cost, WonderFi. So it says here, as of the date hereof, WonderFi has 193 million issued and outstanding common shares, and this is anticipated for the transaction for BCF. 26 million common shares will be issued to them. That's representing approximately 13.4% of the issued and outstanding shares of the company. So that's a substantial amount of equity that's going to be given up to BCF. So that they do believe in the fact that this Web3 slash NFT marketplace is going to be something that's going to be a home run for them moving forward. Really, is it going to be? We saw the article from, let me just pull it up again, from Fortune, and it shows here again, the trading volume is down 99% in US dollars from the May peak. So that, to me, that doesn't really lend itself to like, this is trending in the right direction. It's definitely trending in the wrong direction. they did buy it on the cheap, no doubt about it. And this company, BCF, does have revenue, and that's as of March. What's going to happen moving forward? I don't know. This move, I'm not too bullish on this move. I'm actually very, very bearish in this move. So that's my take on this. Hopefully you have a different take on it. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on it. Is this something that you think this is a good purchase or not? Post your comments below. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. And moving things along, we have the August 2022 update from Bitfarms. Now this update, number one, comes on September 1st. So they have their ducks in order. They're very organized over there to provide this very detailed report so soon after the month ends. Number two, the way they capture this and they present their monthly updates, they're very well done. I like the way it's framed and it's easy to digest. I just like the way Bitfarms does it, and I wish other companies would kind of follow suit based on what they're doing. It seems to be the best of the lot, in my opinion. But in terms of what happened in the month of August, well, they're talking about their Argentinian warehouse. The first Argentinian warehouse is going to be energized this month, which is great. They mined 534 Bitcoin for an average of 17.2 Bitcoin for the month, and that's a record for Bitfarms. So kudos to them for being able to mine so much Bitcoin. And they launched a new corporate website, which I'm going to show you right now. This is it, and it gives you a good indication what's going on with their existing network, where they now have 50,000 miners hashing away. Their hash rate is 3.9 exahash per second as of right now, which is the same as yesterday, so it hasn't gone up since yesterday. 9 different farms hashing away, making Bitcoin for them, and they have 4 different locations in 4 different countries. So, and I like that they have this fan over here. That's either the exhaust or the intake for one of their ASIC mining equipment. So really cool stuff. Check out their website. It seems to be more user-friendly than before. In terms of what's going on in Argentina, well, they plan to get to 4.2 exahash per second, and their Argentinian locations is going to help them get there. Well, they're going to be able to draw 10 megawatts from the future 50 megawatt warehouse facility in Argentina. This 10 megawatts is going to be available this month. So that's great news. And it's going to scale up from there in increments to a total of 50 megawatts by out the end of Q4 2022. They have a second warehouse that they're commencing construction this month. It's another 50 megawatts they're going to get available for power for them, and it's going to be completed by Q2 2023. And if you look at their monthly update, they are standing right now at the end of August, so that's as of August 31st 2022, 3.9 exahash per second. That's up from 3.8 exahash from the beginning of the month, so it's a little bit of an increase, but still an increase nonetheless. And if you look at July, they end of July at 3.8 exahash per second, but that was an increase of 6% from the beginning of July. So there's a steady increase in terms of their hash rate. They, as I mentioned, 534 Bitcoin was mined, and that's a record for them. Another record is 17.2 Bitcoin per day. That's the average. And of note, they now have 2,128 Bitcoin on the reserves. They did famously buy a whole bunch of Bitcoin back earlier this year at a price of around $40,000, and they ended up selling that because they had to do some restructuring of debt. So that purchase wasn't very good. It was a money-losing endeavor. So they used to have far more Bitcoin on their balance sheet, and they are selling their Bitcoin for the most part. So they mined 534 Bitcoin for the month of August. As I mentioned, they sold 427. So they're keeping a little bit over 100 for the month of August. And the reason why they're selling it, well, they have debt, and all Bitcoin mining is very CapEx heavy. They have to get money coming in. There has to be cash flow in order for them to maintain operations. Now, if you look at their Bitcoin mining production for the last few months, starting from January, is 301 in January, 298 in February, went down very slightly. March, 363, April, 405, May, 431, June, 420, another drawdown, but not that much. July, 500, and August, 534. So for the most part, it's aside from 2 months, its number go up when in terms of how much Bitcoin they mine in a given month. And so, and if you look at why it went down in February, of note that it's because they do a lot of their mining in a province of Quebec, and in Quebec there is a lot of homes being heated with their electricity. It's not natural gas that's heating homes, and if there's a cold spell in the province of Quebec, the province tells Bitcoin mining operations to stop mining Bitcoin because they have to redirect the energy to homes so they could keep their homes heated. Makes sense, but this is what impacts their last February production. It's going to impact them moving forward as well. If there's going to be another cold spell in Quebec, and if it's going to be a prolonged cold spell at that, it's going to impact their cold winter, the northern hemisphere winter months for Bitcoin mining, their production. But they're going to try to offset this with what's going on in Argentina, because they're going to be expanding their operations there, as I noted earlier. But something that I just want to bring up, Argentina is a very volatile situation. They have very, very high inflation over there. It's now approaching, if not at, triple digits. And they recently got a bailout from the IMF. And that bailout came up with a caveat saying that their banks could not initiate or getting involved in it with the engagement of selling Bitcoin to their customers. So it looks like the IMF obviously is pissed off with Bitcoin, and should the IMF do another bailout with Argentina, which could happen, what's to say that they could just put an embargo on any Bitcoin mining operations to they basically put a halt to that moving forward in Argentina? It could potentially happen, because Argentina doesn't have very much leverage when it comes to negotiating with the IMF. So that being said, another thing to consider is it's potentially there's the opportunity that Argentina could nationalize any of these mining operations. So Bitfarms may be putting up all this money and all this effort to set up these two mining operations, these two warehouses that are combined 100 megawatts. And it could very well be that Argentina will just nationalize that and scoop it up from the from Bitfarms, which of course would be disastrous if that's the case. So it comes, you know, it's good that they're expanding in South America, but it comes with, there's potential bad. I don't like the fact that you want to have all mining centralized in one particular region of the world, i.e. North America. Spreading it out is ideal in case there are some localized issues, be it energy issues or political environment changes. If you spread it out, you're kind of dealing with, problems can't really spread throughout the globe, or they can, but it could potentially stop at certain borders. So I like the fact that they're trying to expand elsewhere and taking advantage of very, very cheap energy in Argentina. But just keep in mind, if something happens in Argentina, be it with the IMF or if they try nationalizing stuff, this is going to impact the price of Bitfarms stock moving forward. Investors are not going to view this positively, and rightfully so. But as long as things remain the way they are in Argentina, they allow people to come in, companies to come in, set up shop, take advantage of cheap energy. It's a very lucrative place to mine Bitcoin, but there is the potential things may get rug pulled at any time. And the final story I have for today is from Big Digital Assets, and this is on the heels of their Q2 2022 report. And that report indicated that still their bread and butter is Netcoins. That is their biggest revenue generating company under their umbrella. And as that company goes, so does Big Digital Assets. But I hypothesize that the blockchain intelligence group company that they have under their umbrella can be very, very lucrative moving forward, as their services are going to be more in demand as we transition to a more of a digital world of transitioning in digital assets. And for those who aren't aware, Blockchain Intelligence Group, they provide blockchain analysis to anybody that requires it. So they provide that service, and companies have already started using it, along like banks and along with the US government. So they have a 5-year contract that's ongoing with Blockchain Intelligence Group, albeit it's not that big, it's still getting their foot in the door. So just today, it was announced that they have renewed a contract with a company in the United States for $270,000. This is a renewal of a contract, and it's with a crypto payments company that serves more than 100,000 users, retailers globally with real-time payments. So it looks like to me that there's the company that has used their services in the past, they are looking to re-up the contract, and they've done so because they must be happy with the work that has been done to date. So they wouldn't renew the contract if they weren't happy with Blockchain Intelligence Group's their work. $270,000 is not a big contract. It's rather small in the grand scheme of things. In fact, it was reported back in Q2 2022 that their Blockchain Intelligence Group, the total revenue was around $500,000 annually. So it's not a big thing, it's not a big revenue generator for Big Digital Assets. But moving forward, I suspect this company, the Blockchain Intelligence Group, is going to be very lucrative moving forward. It's probably going to take some time before we get there. We're still in a very depressed market with respect to the price of Bitcoin and all other digital tokens. And as a result, maybe companies are less willing and more hesitant to get involved in that type of sphere and that type of environment. But as things pick up, as the US dollar and other fiat currencies take a nosedive, and you know, there's alternatives people look at, like Bitcoin and other things like that, it's going to make Blockchain Intelligence Group that much more lucrative. I suspect you're going to see governments, quite a few governments, entering into a contract for their services. Not only them, banks. That's another one. There's going to be lots of banks moving forward. There's already some Canadian banks, from what I understand, are taking advantage of Blockchain Intelligence Group's services, but there's going to be more banks globally that's going to take advantage of it. So this is a business that could potentially explode. They're not the only ones that provide blockchain analysis services, but they are setting themselves up to be one of the bigger ones. In fact, if the US government entered into a contract with them, a five-year contract with them, and they're in year three of year five, that goes to show you there's some level of respect and they like the services that Blockchain Intelligence Group has. So this is more of a long-term play. So look at this. It's not going to be lucrative for the next little while, but look at it out from 1, 2, 3, or 4 years or even beyond, because this is something that could have real impact. It could be a real revenue generator moving forward. I suspect Netcoins will become less of their main bread and butter, and Blockchain Intelligence Group will probably become their main revenue source generation moving forward. All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And before we sign off, just want to make sure you're aware that I'm not a financial advisor, Joey's not a financial advisor, and none of the guests are considered to be financial advisors. So make sure you do your own research before you park any money based on what we talk about. If not, you're going to get wrecked. And with that, take care.